Bibles this morning and go to the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 13. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13. If you would, I don't ask you to do this often, but if you would, keep your Bibles open. Well, I do ask you to keep your Bible open, but we don't turn a lot usually. We did last service, and there's two portions of Scripture that we're going to look at this morning. Lord willing, we'll be going back and forth, so just keep your Bible open, Matthew 13. And then when you find that, you can go just a little bit forward and find the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13. Luke 13 and Matthew 13. I hear pages turning. That's a good thing. And while you turn, let me say it's a blessing and an honor to have you visiting with us. If you're visiting, you are honored guests, and we're so glad to have you. I have several first-time visitors, and that's a blessing. We'd love for you to come back and be with us again. Also want to say everybody's welcome to come eat with us, whether you're visiting, a member, or whatever. Hungry or not, come and eat and fellowship with us. And we'll celebrate my mom's birthday. And happy birthday, Mama. I love you. That's wonderful. All right. Let's stand to our feet. We'll reverence God's word as we read it and give you a minute to stretch your legs. Matthew chapter 13, verse number 8. The Bible says, "But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold." Now let's go to Luke chapter 13. Just a few pages over, Luke 13, verse number 6. "He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of the vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it, and dung it. Then after that, thou shalt cut it down." You can have a seat. Thank you for standing. In both Gospels, both the verses we just read, God is speaking to us. Jesus gave this parable, and a parable is where Jesus would take a heavenly meaning and a heavenly truth and give it an earthly story or earthly context to help understand what the truth he was trying to get us to understand. But in both Gospels, in both verses and set of verses we read, we see that the theme and the tone of what the Lord is speaking and saying is that God desires for us to produce fruit. If you're saved, now, if you're not saved this morning, it's impossible. You cannot produce fruit. It's just an impossibility. But if you're saved, we absolutely should be producing fruit. And God expects us and desires for us to produce fruit. And this will probably be a two-part message. Probably tonight we'll come back and look at really the major thrust of the message, where he spoke and said some produced 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. And we'll look at and break down the differences in that. But what God is saying to us is, I believe God wants you and wants me to reach our full potential. God don't want us living less than. He wants us to have all that he provided, to be all that he has willed for us to be, and he has made so many provisions for us to be able to reach our full potential. And so I want to take this scripture this morning and begin and look at the highlights of the fact that God wills and desires for us to reach our full potential. Just to emphasize that, Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that ye may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. Not just life, but above average, more than, reaching your full potential. That's the heart of God. And I believe every Christian can reach their full potential by understanding the following truths. Number one, I see in the verses the farmer's plan. The farmer's plan. Look at verse 6 and 7 again. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree and planted his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of the vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground? The farmer didn't plant this fig tree so he could block the view off the interstate riding by his house. He didn't plant the tree to give his children a place to build a tree house. The farmer didn't plant the tree for firewood or to add curb appeal to his farmhouse. No, it's very clear when he planted the tree, he planted the tree that fruit would come and grow on the tree, and it would be plenteous, and it would be able to minister to he, his family, and to others outside of his home. The plan is to see the seed planted grow into a crop, and that crop would become strong and healthy and become a source of benefit for others. That's what the Lord desires in our life. It ain't about just me and mine getting by. No, God wants our life to be overflowing that we could benefit and minister to other people. And the plan is not so much, the plan is not to sow a bunch of seed so that the fowls can come and eat the seed up. No, God plants the seed, and he does it, and we'll speak more about how he plants the seed, but God has designed this method and this plan of planting seed, allowing that seed to find fertile ground that it can grow and produce fruit. And he don't desire for us to let that seed go to waste and let the fowls take the seed or let the thorns and thistles choke the seed and it come to no good. Matthew 13 verse 4 and verse 19 alludes to the fowls of the air and how they come and snatched it and stole it away. Verse 4 he said, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside and the fowls came and devoured them up. Then verse 19, when any one heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. Listen, it's a big deal that God would plant seed in our life. It's a blessing from God that he thought enough about us not to just save us, but to save us, put his son in us, put his spirit in us, and give us a receiver and a receptacle where we could take what he would sow into our life, allow it to be nurtured and allow it to be have the hand of God upon it and grow. God, ain't you glad God didn't save you and leave you? No, he saved us. He filled us with his spirit and he gave us his word and he gave us a preacher and he gave us the church and he gave us brothers and sisters that we could grow by the grace of God. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so this plan is not only of sowing seed is not only not to let the fowls come and snatch it away, but it's also not to sow a bunch of seed and let it fall on stony ground and just be wasted. God don't plant seed for it to be wasted. God has a specific desire that when his seed is sown,
that he would be able to nurture that seed and see it come to fruition and produce fruit. The plan is not to sow seed in the thorns and thistles that it could be choked. But the plan is simple this morning. The plan, God's plan is simply this. And it's accomplished as we see in verse 8. But other fell into good ground. Not stony ground, not fallow, but into good ground. He said, but fell into good ground and brought forth fruit. Some 100, some 60, and some 30-fold. And so, I'm amazed this morning at how many Christians think God's pleased and up in heaven giving a round of applause because you made it to church this morning. It's amazing to me how many people think they've done God a favor by writing their tithe check out. It's amazing to me that we think we've done God a favor by picking up His Word and reading it. No, that's a gift from God. We're not doing God a favor. God's doing us a favor. Amen. Every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God's blessed us by giving us His Word. And He intends for it to come to much fruit. When we read Ephesians chapter 4, we don't have to guess or speculate to what God's plan and God's desire is. Listen to these verses, Ephesians 4:11. And He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Verse 13 goes on to say, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man. Let me just pause there and just simply say, there is no such thing as a perfect man outside of the Lord Jesus. But what this verse is saying, that word perfect, when we read it, it's the same word when and you read the book of Job, where the Bible said that Job was a perfect and upright man. He was a matured and a complete Christian, not perfect, not without sin, not without some form of falling short. No, we all fall short. We all sin, and none of us are perfect this morning, but we can be matured and complete and grown up in the Lord. God does not, and I'm not trying to be mean, and I know I'll probably get flack over this, but God didn't save you so that you could be a dwarf Christian. God didn't save you and have intentions that you just develop into a midget of a Christian. God wants you to develop and to grow into your full and complete self. And that can only happen by the seed that He's given us being sown into our hearts, being blessed and being providentially enabled to grow and produce fruit. He goes on to say, He said, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So do you see, God has a plan. And His plan is that the seed of the Word of God be sown into your life and into your heart, take root, grow, produce a crop, and that crop being fruit, that He can be glorified, that you can be helped, and that others could be helped by and through our lives. So not only do we see the farmer's plan, but number two, we see the furnishings provided. The furnishings provided, number one, the sower. And please don't get me wrong this morning. I'm part of this plan. I'm part of the furnishings provided. I'm a preacher without apology. I thank the Lord for His call on my life. but that does not elevate me above anybody. As Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God, period. But God chose by the foolishness of preaching to save them that are lost. God chose preaching as his method to sow into your life. Amen. So the sower, that's the preacher. That's the evangelist. That's the pastor. That's the missionary. That's the soul winner. While I'm talking about the sower this morning, don't just look my direction. Look at yourself in the mirror. You are and should be a sower. The Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise. Amen. And so when's the last time you've sown seed into somebody's life? You say, but that's the preacher's job. That's the teacher's job. No, that's all of our job. Amen. And so someone who grabs a handful of tracts and gives them out to people, you are, in by definition, in doing so, a sower of the seed. We celebrate Momo's birthday today, and I couldn't help, as I was studying and praying and meditating over this message, especially this part right here, to think, where would we be? This place wouldn't even be here. This church wouldn't even be here. Many of you would know nothing of the gospel hadn't there not been a faithful little old man to stand out on the side of the road and give out a gospel tract to a man named Andrew Kerrigan. That's right, and I could take the rest of my time this morning telling you of people that have simply received a tract holding the gospel, and we know that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, and that one seed being turned into a crop and into fruit that went on to touch and bless and minister to so many other lives. I could take the time this morning to talk about just that one track and how it flowed to and then through Andrew Kerrigan and at all the people, I mean on seven continents of the world, through that one seed. See how that fruit was produced and provided, and then it just went out everywhere. That's God's plan. That's it. That's the seed reaching its full potential. Amen. That's what God desires, not just for Andrew Kerrigan or Momont, but for every child of God. Everyone here this morning is a result of somebody sowing. I'm sure you could think back through the history of your life and just look at and can see. Chastity, I know you remember our grandma praying for us and reading the Bible. That was seed being sown into our life. I had Sunday school teachers who would throw seed and invest seed. I had a praying mama who would throw seed and sow seed into my life. The preachers, year in and year out, who would preach and sow the seed into my life. And so do you. Every one of us are not here by accident. We're here because somebody thought enough about us to sow into our life. So not only the sower, but then the seed. We're talking about the furnishings provided. The sower. Thank God for the preacher who preached to me about Jesus. Thank God for the seed, the Word of God. The seed is the Word of God. Listen, I could surely take the rest of the day. And I'm not talking about pausing and breaking for lunch. I'm not even talking about going home. I could take the rest of the day and just brag on and lift up and magnify the power of the Word of God. None of us would be saved. None of us would have faith apart from the Word of God, the seed that God sowed in our life. Then, not only the sower and the seed, but the soil. The soil, verse 8, the Bible calls it good ground. Listen to this word. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. That's the heart that's been prepared by the Holy Spirit to understand and receive. The soil is your heart. That's where the seed is sown. That's where the seed falls to. And if it's good ground, if it's fertile ground, that seed will go into that soil and it will take root and it will grow and turn into fruit. And a lot of people say, well, I just ain't producing fruit. And you wonder and you question why. And I look at people's lives and we're not supposed to. Have you ever heard this? You ain't supposed to judge. You ever heard that? You ain't supposed to judge. Well, if you got the time, I could take the Bible and show you that that's just not true. Matthew 7:1. Well, I can give you the verses and I can give you the context. Judge not that you be not judged. Don't say not to judge. It said just don't judge if you ain't ready to be judged. And the Bible encourages us, strongly encourages us to be fruit inspectors. You and I would be blinding ourselves and would be living less than if we could look at somebody's life and not be able to tell there's fruit coming off that tree. And not even to be able to tell if there's fruit, but to be able to tell what kind of fruit. It's as simple as looking up at an apple tree. If you see a tree, you can see the fruit coming off of it and tell what kind of tree it is. Even if you're not some kind of major in planting and farming, you know what an apple is. You may not know what an apple leaf looks like. You may not know what the branches may look like. But you know what an apple looks like, and you can see the tree and say, that's an apple, or that's an orange, or that's a banana, or fill in the blank. And I'm simply saying, it ain't judging to be a fruit inspector. And when I see people's lives who claim to be saved, and who name the name of Christ and say, I'm headed to heaven when I die, and yet there's no fruit, that bothers me. That burdens me, because listen to me, He saved you that he could produce fruit in your life. And over and over and over, this truth is repeated time and time again, that where there's no fruit, that tree will be hewn down and cast into the fire.
That's right. Amen.
Now, are you hearing me? Where there's no root, there'll be no fruit. And I'm rooted in Christ. And if I'm rooted in Christ, then there should be fruit that's produced after the image of the Son of God. There should be fruit in mine and your life that are saved, that are fruits of the Spirit. Are you listening? And so, we see the soil. Listen to this. I'm not a mathematician. That's a weak point of mine. But only 1/4 of the seed sown came up. 3/4 of the seed that was sown never come up. Out of the 1/4 of the seed that did come forth, only 1/3 of that seed reached its full potential. 1/3 reached 60-fold. 1/3 reached 100-fold, and then 1/3 reached 30, 60, 100. And all that's coming out of 1/4 that was sown that come up. Just think about it. Listen to me. You say, what's all that got? Why ain't throwing all these fractions at me this morning? Well, I ain't trying to bore you, and fractions bore me. I'm simply trying to say, out of all the seed been sown, it's a tragedy how much is wasted. You say, well, I don't waste it. When God sows seed into my life, I gobble it up and I let it find fertile ground and it grows. I wish I could say that. But I think about, the Bible says where much is given, much is required. And I think about all the thousands and thousands of hours I've heard preaching. And I've heard a man of God stand up and expound the Word of God. And God has given much to me. And I've given myself much to the preaching of the Word of God. But that means there's going to be a lot required of me. And that means, if I'm honest, there's been a lot of seed wasted.
Right.
That fell by and the fowls came and stole and got that seed. There's been a lot of seed that was sown into my life that fell on thorny ground and choked out sins and things in my life that just choke it out. Others fell on hard ground that never, I'm just simply saying, three-fourths of it never come up to nothing. And out of that one-fourth left that did come up to some fruit, only one-third of that reached its full potential, 100-fold. And that's what I want to deal with the remainder of time we got this morning, which ain't much, and then tonight. All this was just groundwork for the message of reaching your full potential. That seems like an awful small amount to reach their full potential. But look around in the normal average Baptist church. Those numbers are dead on. Dead on. And there's no reason that should be the case. We have a sower. We have the seed that's perfect and plentiful. So it should come up. The problem is not the sower. So if we had a better preacher, I'll give you that. But it ain't in a better delivery system. I'm simply sowing the seed. The seed, it sure ain't a problem with the seed. You know what the problem is? It's the soil. The soil is that common ground that we all have. Because couldn't we all agree and say, there's no problem with this. There ain't no problem with the Word of God. And if any preacher, whether he's monotone or whether he gets real quiet and then gets real loud and keep your attention or puts you to sleep, if a preacher, any preacher, will stand up and proclaim the Word of God, the truth of the Word of God, and just simply sow the seed, it ain't a problem with the preacher. It ain't a problem with the seed. It's a problem with the soil, our hearts, where the seed is sown. And that's what's dictating how many fold. Because the same seed, many times, is sown by the same sower. And that same seed by the same sower will land on one part of soil and it produces 100-fold, full potential. And at the same time, the same seed from the same sower lands on another one and produces 30. Why is that? It's the soil. It's a problem with the soil. And so, the farmer's plan, the furnishings provided, number three, and we'll stop here, the fruit produced. Verse 23 said, which also beareth fruit. The fig tree was not producing any figs. Is it too much to ask a fig tree to produce figs? What else is it supposed to do? Sure, it can provide shade, but that ain't its number one purpose. Sure, it can be used for other purposes, but the number one purpose of a fig tree is to produce fruit. That ain't asking too much. Neither is God asking too much from His people that He give everything for and everything to expect us to produce fruit.
Amen.
That is not God asking too much of us. Wouldn't you agree? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He's freely given us all things. And if He's done that, surely, when He desires to have a fig, He ought not to come to our tree and it be barren and be let down time and time again. The whole point and purpose and the whole plan of God is that Christians produce fruit. Listen to these verses. John chapter 5, we'll close here this morning and pick back up here tonight. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine. This is Jesus speaking. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and it withereth, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. So if he's saying the Father is glorified when we bear much fruit, don't you think he's shamed? The opposite of being glorified when we don't? Well, of course he is. Don't you think it hurts the heart of God when he's done everything for us and provided all things to us and we still come up barren? Yeah, it hurts the heart of God. And so, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. I close with this morning. You want to know why the Christian life has turned into a heartache and a hardship, and it's one letdown after another, and you just can't seem to find joy in living for Jesus? I'll tell you why. It's because you're not filling your full potential. The fruit that should be being produced in mine and your life, when that's not happening, it absolutely steals our joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. You want to tell you why there's so many weak Christians and wobbling Christians and wandering Christians? Because we don't have the joy of the Lord. And our strength is being sapped from us and sucked out of us because we are not producing fruit and we're not becoming the full potential of what God has designed and desired for us to be. I mean this morning. Take this home with you and come back tonight and we're going to look at how to do this. But I promise you this is true. If you're floundering as a Christian, if you feel like you just can't accomplish being a Christian and there's seemingly no fruit, little if any, I promise you, you don't have the joy of the Lord. You can't. Because by definition, we're failing when we're not having our full potential. We're coming up short. And anytime you come up short, when I go to pay a bill, if I come up short, I'm let down. I don't like it. When my football team, they drive down the field and they got 2 seconds left and they come up short and they look, my joy is stolen. Anything we come up short on and don't get to our potential, it's a letdown and it robs our joy. It ain't hard to figure this out. When we are not allowing God to take us to our full potential, we're coming short and therein robbing the joy that He has for us. Living less than what God has for us. And there's so much more. And then we end up with self, just trying to maintain self and trying to preserve self and just trying to make it ourself. When the whole Christian life was designed that we could share it with other people. And when we're doing everything for self-preservation, there's no joy in that because that wasn't the purpose and plan of God. He saved us so we'd have life and life more abundantly that other people could come and get in on what we have. And when we're just barely making it through for self-preservation, there's no joy in that. You want to experience joy? Start living to your full potential. Allow God to pour His seed into your life. And by the way, you're not going to get His seed when you're not here to get it. Don't leave here this morning. I've had several people bring this up to me lately. Wonder why there's so many people here on Sunday morning, and then it just drops off a cliff for Sunday night and dropped off another cliff for Wednesday night. Let me tell you why, while all y'all's here. I could preach this tonight, but you wouldn't hear it. So I might as well just load your wagon while you're here. Let me tell you why. Because you obviously don't hold the seed in high regard. You're never going to have fruit. You're never going to reach your full potential unless you're there to receive the seed that's being sown into your life. Make it a priority. Lord, here I am. Speak to me. Bless me. Sow into me. Because I want to reach my full potential. I want to have the joy and strength of the Lord. That can happen, and that will happen if we'll make it a priority to the Lord. All right, let's stand together. We'll pick back up here tonight. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the seed of the word of God. Thank you for every sower, God, that's sown into my life. Thank you, Father, more than anything, that you loved us enough to sow and to give into our lives, Lord. I ask you, Lord, this morning that you would take your word. God, that you, the Holy Spirit, would deal with our hearts and reveal to us and show us how much you've given, how good you've been to us, Lord, and how below par we're living. And it's no wonder, Father, that we are living without joy and without strength. Lord, I know your desire is that we all reach our full potential, but just by the numbers in the Word of God and what I've seen, most are a statistic living without and less than their full potential. I ask you, Lord, this morning that you, the Holy Spirit of God, would speak it so clear. Oh, God, speak it clearly. There's so much more. There's so much more, God. Birth in our hearts that desire to have more, to be more. Help us not to be so selfish. Help us not to be so selfish that we would just live a life of self-preservation, but that our family, our children, our spouses could come and feed and drink out of our life, Lord, and be sustained and fulfilled. God, if no man or no woman comes to partake of our fruit, it'd be enough, Lord, just to know when you come looking and desiring for fruit in our life that you would find it. After all you've done for us, Lord, help us to be willing to at least do that for you. Well, thank you. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed,